Matthew chapter 9. I know time is short for me here, but I'll do the best I can to bring a few thoughts from the Word of God at this moment. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. I'll read down to verse 38, then we'll have a word of prayer. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this very familiar passage of Scripture. And we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will bring a fresh awareness of our need to be involved in missions, both locally and around the world. So I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will encourage us to keep on keeping on in a world that is so confusing, a world that so desperately need Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you help indeed our lights to so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. May we bear this light with a great desire, a greater desire. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here we have the Master himself, Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, small group of followers, and he is using the multitudes. And notice it's not one multitude, it's multitudes, plural. It's a lot of people there. And he's turning to his disciples. You see, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, he's making the point, and for those of you who have the fancy Bible, like my pastor says, the red letter edition, you see the words of the Lord himself in verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So that was the Lord's concern about this passage. So he is talking about missions, about the need of being involved in missions. So to do missions, let me point out here from this passage, first of all, you need to go. You must go. And that's what Jesus did. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He was not selective. Well, I'm going to skip this city because I'm going to skip that city because they don't like me. He went about all. The word all is there. All the cities. Okay? We are in a city that is 139,000 in normal year, off season. Comes the season, high season, which is summer. Right when we get there in Brazil in December, it goes over 400,000 people. And again, it's a tourist city. It's a resort area. People from all over the world, these cruises are coming in. So we have a great opportunity to reach folks for Christ. And a lot of people are moving into town as well because it's becoming more and more famous. A lot of things, a lot of big projects they're putting together there. It's just unbelievable. And we want to take advantage of that. We want to saturate the city with tracts and John and Romans and Bibles, you know. We have opportunity. By the way, you see the big skyscrapers there. We cannot afford to live there. We want to move there too, by the way. Yeah, we want to, not to that part, but we want to move to the city because to avoid all the commuting. So pray for us. It's a long story, okay. I'm carless. Carless, get it? We sold our car before we came here. So, and to leave the money there for the new church, the payments of the rental and all that. And we rented our house in the other city where the church is, so we're homeless. I'm carless, my wife is homeless. So pray for us. Yeah, so pray for us because the rental of our house is like one-third of what a rental is in the other city. So pray for us, for the Lord provide for that. And my co-worker is meeting with somebody tomorrow. Lord willing, that will be the apartment we're looking for. We want an apartment on the other side of town, obviously, because that way whenever we have to travel for anything, we just close one door. now we have a house. We built a large house where we're at, from little by little, over many, many years, building one brick after another, because we started our churches there. But now we want to relocate. Okay, so do pray for us regarding that. But like I said, people from all over the world, they're moving there. We cannot go knocking on the skyscrapers. They'll shoot us, okay? Because it's heavily secured, those places. Just wealthy people come, people who are business people, famous soccer players, they live there. But you know what? We can find them in the streets, in the grocery store. We can give them gospel tracts, and we can offer English classes for them to come because they want to learn. So there's a lot of ways you can reach them. Soccer as well. There's a missionary kid. Remember the missionary that I was translating for? I was called to be a minister under his ministry. His son graduated from Crown College, and he's coming down to work with us. So actually, he's praying about that because the two possibilities, one in Sao Paulo, one where we're at. And I'm praying for the Lord to close down the door in Sao Paulo so he can come work with us. He does have a girlfriend in Sao Paulo. So that's why I said, no problem, brother. You get married out there and come down south, work with us. Yeah, he's a soccer player. So, and there's another man that's in our church is also a professional soccer player. So we were hoping that we can use that as an outreach somehow to give him the gospel. All right, so to do missions first, you must go, and you cannot be selective. There are many opportunities. Again, the world is coming to you. But second thing, to do missions, you must go. And second, you must see. You must see. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, now here's the Lord who knows every heart. He didn't have to see them to have that compassion. He saw them because he's God and he knows. He is showing us. That's the example that we should follow. Because when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. Now something happened right deep in his inner being. Today we call our heart. Deep in his heart, he felt the need. Okay? Back in the day, the word for compassion here was the bowels, your intestines. You don't see there, I love you from the bottom of my intestines today. Doesn't sound good, but that's what it was. To give the idea, that carried the idea of your inner being, something that comes from your heart. If I tell my wife, I love you. Even if I just say that, I love you, she knows I mean it. You know, by God's grace, I proved over the years, amen? And that's how it's supposed to be. But she knows. And the Lord had this compassion. When he saw, he was moved with compassion because, he explains there, they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. How many people do you know like that? That you rub shoulders with? People who think they got it made. You know, oh, I have a good career, I have money, and that's it. Yeah, I don't need anything. Do you remember that big fish on the video? That man who owns that company, he was an English student of mine, lost man. To this day, he's lost as far as I know. I had the opportunity he wouldn't come to our church because, you know, who needs a church? You know, he would come to our language school to learn English to make more money. So many times, invariably, I would have the opportunity to witness to him. But I remember to this day, one time, he looked at me and he said, you know, I don't need your God. Just like that. I have lots of money. I help the poor. I'm very healthy, wealthy and healthy. I only eat fish. Too bad for him. I come from a steak country. Steak state. Okay? Let's not go there because Baptists, they get these rabbit trails, you know, all the time about food. But he said, I walk 2 hours every day. You know, after work, I don't need your God. So sad. And there are people like that. They fainted, they're scattered abroad, they are like sheep having no shepherd. They have no idea, they think they got it made. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing. Nothing. And if you die without Christ, if you're here this morning, you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're going to an eternal hell with no second chance. Yeah. So I pray that the Lord will give you a greater compassion, a greater feeling of sympathy for those who are lost and need Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So to do missions, you must go. Second, you must see. And by the way, if you don't go, you won't see. Or even if you go, you need to make sure you see them for who they are. You know, because, they're fine. Look what they're driving. Look where they live. Look what they do. You know, look at their appearance. Look what they wear. No, you have to see beyond that as you talk to them. If they have I'm not going to go political here, but if they're Democrats, that's a good start for you to show them. Okay, no, I'm serious. As you talk to them, you know what they believe, what they're promoting. Anyway, you must go, you must see. Third, you must look at the time. And third, you must pray. Okay? You must pray. Look at verse 37. Then, always one connecting to the other, right? Verse 35, and Jesus, verse 36, but contrast to 35. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then, verse 38, pray ye therefore. Every time we see the word therefore, we need to see why it's therefore. Because it's connecting to the previous context. So, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. So because of that, folks, pray. It's an imperative. It's an order. It's a command, not a suggestion. You know, we need to pray, first of all, to the Lord of the harvest. Because it's his harvest. He is the Lord. We need to be in touch with him. Missionaries have no power. Pastors have no power in and of ourselves. We need to be in touch with the Lord. Lord, how should I approach this person? I call it a track attack. I love track attack. You know, giving tracks everywhere. I have Chinese. I have Spanish now here from the church here. And I carry those with me. And now you know the kind of restaurants I like, right? Again, Chinese, Mexican, okay, American. I call it track attack, not because we're going to push this down someone's throat. It will eventually reach the heart that way. But that's not what I'm talking about. Have you ever played Uno attack? You push the button and eventually those cards come in like that? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You give those tracks like that, like candies, you know, hotcakes. Because they need to, you know, how many people probably here, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, maybe some people are here, that who are here have been saved because they read a gospel tract. I remember one guy, when I was in college, he was ready to take on his own life, and he was on the curb just thinking how he was going to do it. It had rained the day before, and there was this creek kind of water coming down, a stream of water, and this gospel tract came floating, stopped right in between his feet. He read the tract, and he got saved. He was training. He was in the seminary with me to be full-time in the ministry. So, tract attack. If they take your money, they take your track. Okay? Many examples I could give you here. And I encourage you, if you're not involved in track attacking, get your gospel tracks and start tonight. Start today. You know, just give them. You know? Oh, they're going to be offended. Well, they offend us all the time. Right? So let's get it. Let's get this across. Okay? Just briefly, as I close here, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray for those who are in the harvest. The missionaries who are in the harvest, discouraged sometimes, homesick, they want to go back, pray for them. Pray for those who are going to the harvest. Some are on deputation and raising support. Some are like us on furlough now. It's almost 20,000 miles on the road. No flat tire. The first time we're here, the last time with 3 flats in 1 week. Yeah, so I don't believe knocking on wood or anything, but I just know the Lord is taking care of us. Okay, so pray for those who are on deputation and on furlough. Four, pray for those who might respond to the call to go to the harvest. Might be in a time like this where a missionary is in, or a church that's so missions-minded like your church, so excited to see you church, you planting churches here, supporting all these missionaries. That's encouraging. That's exciting. So that's, again, that's what missions is all about. But to do missions, first you need to go. Second, you need to see. Third, you need to pray. And I remember on my furlough, that my deputation a long time ago, this older lady told me, Brother Silvera, get as much prayer support as you can get, and everything else will fall into place. So we're a living testimony that the Lord has been taking care of us through thick and thin, through some sorts of persecution, disappointment sometimes, if away from the family, our kids are here, just like anybody else. You know, we're away from our hometown. We don't have any relative in that town. So you feel like, what am I doing here? Well, we're doing what the Lord called us to do. And we're going to keep on doing it until the Lord calls us home, or until he decides whatever, sends us to another city. And that our goal is, when we're done with this, to go to the next city. So thank you so much for being part of the ministry. We don't take it lightly, all your prayers and support. We are so grateful. We can sense them. We're fired up to go back to Brazil, and we'll keep you posted, okay? Thank you very much. Lord bless you.